Aye.
Entertain a motion to come out of recess into public session. Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second, Mr. Cole, any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Charlotte.
Yes.
Oh, yes, motion carried. We're now back into public session. It's now 10:30, the time for advertised public hearing. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Now is the time and place for a public hearing on a proposed ordinance to amend Chapter 115, Article 28, Section 216D and F concerning when applicants fail to appear to public hearings before county council. And we have Mr. Lank here today. He's going to explain the ordinance to us. And then after that period of time, council will have an opportunity to question Mr. Lank. And then we'll open a public hearing. And anyone who wishes to speak on this matter may do so. I do ask anyone who speaks come forward to the podium and write their name on the list and give us full name and address. Mr. Lank?
Yes, good morning. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on January 22nd, 2015 on an ordinance to amend Chapter 115, Article 28, Section or Subsections 216D and 216F of the Code of Sussex County to grant the County Council and the Planning and Zoning Commission discretion to reconsider zoning applications where applicant has failed to appear or failed to timely withdraw for reasons beyond his control. In the public hearing process, currently, and this is basically a synopsis, the amendment would provide that in the event an applicant fails to appear or fails to withdraw its application in accordance with the code for reasons beyond the applicant's control, if the failure to appear occurred before the Planning and Zoning Commission, or if the failure to appear occurred before the County Council, the Planning and Zoning Commission, or the County Council, as applicable, shall have discretion to reconsider the application upon an affirmative vote of the body following the applicant's submission of a petition for reconsideration within 15 days of the scheduled public hearing, containing facts sufficient to demonstrate that the failure to appear was beyond the applicant's control. Upon affirmative vote to reconsider the application, the public hearing shall be rescheduled. For the benefit of the record and the Planning and Zoning Commission public hearing, we had received no letters, emails, or comments from any parties in support of or in opposition to the application. The Commission did discuss the ordinance amendment. Again, there were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the proposed ordinance amendment. And after the discussion, Mr. Robertson read the following suggested motion for consideration based on some concerns of the commission. And it would read, Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of the ordinance to amend Chapter 115, Article 28, 216 D and F of the Code of Sussex County with a recommendation that it be revised to state the Sussex County Council shall not act upon any matter in which an applicant failed to appear before the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion by Mr. Smith, seconded by Mr. Johnson, and carried unanimously to forward this application, or this ordinance amendment, excuse me, to the County Council with a suggested amendment as read by Mr. Robertson, and that motion carried 4-0. Mr. Ross was absent. He's out of the country. Currently, if you were based on the current ordinance, if a person failed to appear, the action has to be a denial. You experienced this a few weeks ago. We had an application that didn't appear before the commission, and the recommendation from the commission was denial for lack of a record. And it came before council. The applicant appeared. Council held the public hearing. The council approved. And he had to come up with a condition of approval in that instance. And it did get approved. That was the Hopkins Dairy Farm application for the barbecue.
Right.
So it was a small application, but typically that's what they are. Not normally a large application that's got major issues. It's usually the smaller versions that don't appear. I can find it here. The suggested wording, if you were to read the ordinance, And basically, in the whereas and wherefores, in the first page of the ordinance, it would mean, however, the addition would be, however, the county council shall not act upon any matter in which the applicant failed to appear before the Planning and Zoning Commission. And then again, on the second page under D, it would be an addition to provide, however, that the county council shall not act upon any matter in which the applicant failed to appear before the Planning and Zoning Commission again. And then at the very end in synopsis, we've also included, however, the county council shall not act upon any matter in which the applicant failed to appear before the Planning and Zoning Commission. And the purpose of that, historically, the commission, if they had someone failed to appear and they recommended denial, and it came before council, council would basically request to the applicant that if they're going to proceed, that they withdraw and reapply. That's what was done in the past. And this would reduce it from that issue, but it would have to give reasons to justify why they should weren't present. And then you council or the commission would have the right to give reconsideration. It would be another public hearing, but it would be a reconsideration.
Right. It wouldn't have to wait a whole year or
basically it's a year.
And it does give people the ability to, if there's something that happens that they cannot get to that meeting for whatever reason, a personal issue or a medical issue or something.
Well, we had an instance this year that one was a medical issue. The information that was, they had called in, asked for the status of their application. Staff member understood under reference the Board of Adjustment, which was the night before.
Right.
And that they weren't on the agenda, and the individual said, well, I guess I'll go to my doctor's appointment.
Yeah.
So he went to the doctor's appointment, but he ended up missing the public hearing.
Yeah. We gave wrong information. I mean, based on what we knew.
Based on what the question was.
Yeah. Sure. Mr. Cole?
I understand when the county gives out misinformation or wrong information by accident or whatever, that we should, you know, take that in consideration. But my concern would be, where do we have a definition of beyond his control? Mm-hmm. What I fear is the first one comes down the pike. You know, it could be some lame excuse, but yet the council says okay. But then all of a sudden we've set a precedent that lame excuse could be the standard. Is it possible ever to get some kind of maybe examples of what beyond his control could be? It would have to meet this level of, this level of the standard or something.
As far as listing something, I'm hesitant to list specific things, but instead we have drafted it in such a way they put together a petition, and it is their job then to convince you that there was something beyond their control. For example, I was in the hospital. I had an emergency illness and come in with some kind of note.
In light of that, let's just use that example. Mm-hmm. I'm in the hospital.
Right.
Why don't we have in this that there needs to be evidence, some type of evidence, proving that it was beyond his control? Like a car accident or this, but you know, somebody goes, my car didn't work, the battery's dead. And if we grant that, you know, the first guy comes in, my battery's dead, I got an old car and I couldn't get in, all of a sudden the next guy can use it. I mean, it brings the standard down pretty low. So I would love to see something in this ordinance that would make the bar, you know, pretty high. Not, I understand, like I said, not discounting the wrong information from county staff, you know, by mistake or whatever. But when the applicant just doesn't show up, there needs to be some kind of, I think, you know, a proof of something. I just don't understand how we can.
You're uncomfortable with it where it says the applicant's submission of a petition for mm-hmm. reconsideration within 15 days of the scheduled public hearing
right.
containing facts mm-hmm. sufficient to demonstrate the failure to appear
okay.
was beyond applicant's control. Mm-hmm.
I think it's okay that.
All right.
They've got to show.
I mean,
something.
It does say that. I know that, but I'm just wondering if there is any concern that we.
And then if those facts are not sufficient to convince you as a council person, you vote no.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, but the burden's on them to prove
that
they couldn't be here for a good reason.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
We've changed other processes too. Now we now send certified mail to the applicant to make sure they get notice, and we get a return receipt to verify.
I've seen that.
Before,
thank you.
Before we just sent a mail and
right.
Thank
soon
you.
They did. Soon they received it because we didn't get a mail return.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I understand George's.
No, maybe even just a statement say, to give an example of what demonstrating what means. You know, for instance, a receipt from such and, you know, the hospital, or, you know, an admission statement. I just think that we might get ourselves into a situation where there's an applicant out here, a couple of us know, we're sympathetic because we're buddies, or something like that. I mean, I'd rather see a bar that's established somewhere, but I get, because it still seems to me it's kind of wide open. But
any thoughts on your part?
We could put on D the reconsideration. Look where it's underlined in the sixth underlined line where it starts applicant's control period. We could put, for example, evidence of a hospital stay, if that would be.
For example, evidence of a hospital stay, evidence of, you know, some written evidence. Not just, they're going to come in with just verbal statements.
No, they have a petition.
Wait, is a petition in writing?
Yes. Yes, they would have filed a petition with the county council asking for reconsideration, and they would have to enumerate
all their
reasons.
Well, maybe attached to the petition should be evidence. So why don't you say, is there a way that you could just say you petition the county, you know, and with the in conjunction with the petition, there should be some evidence, some concrete evidence attached. Otherwise, there'll be a written statement, I was in the hospital.
We're asking for facts in the petition.
I'm just trying to get something that, in other words, sets a bar that we can, because we're going to start this, and it's, if it's either loose or it's fairly tight. I'd rather lean on being very tight, because we want to make it a higher bar.
You know, even if we add written evidence, someone can say, well, I can sign an affidavit stating I was in the hospital. That's
right,
written evidence. You know, I tend to write it in such a way because we can't think of every circumstance where it's up to the council to look at it, and if you're not convinced by that evidence.
Right. Okay, if the guy's in front of us, or we get this petition,
mm-hmm.
The petition comes where? To Lawrence or to the council? To who?
It depends, whether it's at the commission level or if it's at the council level.
Okay, it comes to the commission level. Can they read the petition and say, to Lawrence, get back to this guy, we want some evidence?
What would happen, he would come before them and argue, because it would be listed on their agenda. Mm-hmm. And at that point, they would state, or you
sure.
state,
sure.
say, you know, we're...
The petition has to be presented in person?
It would have to be. It could be in writing, but then someone needs to present it. It would be an agenda item.
Wouldn't just mail it in, and then it would be brought up under
additional.
That's what I'm trying to find out what this procedure
for
is.
For reconsideration.
Pardon?
It would have to be a vote from the council members to be for reconsideration,
right.
so
mm-hmm.
that we can reschedule.
And it would have to actually be on the agenda
right.
as an agenda item, and someone would present it stating, you know, we have this application, and I would assume if there were a private attorney presenting it for someone, they would be here.
You've just kind of given us a procedure.
Yes.
But it's not in writing anywhere, so how do we know that a procedure like that will be followed? Is there a way that we can even put a procedure then? That a written petition, then presentation in front of either P&Z or county council by the petitioner?
I'd like to see that.
Somewhere, I think, it just makes my nose wiggle here that it's too loose.
We could possibly write a procedure, and I would want to look at this further, if this is the appropriate place to do it, or if we could add it in here, the procedure itself.
I don't know. That's,
could it be an amendment to the rules and procedures of the council rather than and the commission rather than a part of the ordinance?
Yeah, that's probably where it would go.
Commission.
I just think that this procedure you just stated sounds like a good idea. But let's make sure it gets done.
Mr. President,
Mr. Arnett.
How many? I know we had one recently. I do know that.
Had a few recently.
But beyond that, I mean, is there a history of this being an issue in the last, say, 7 years, 6 years, 7 years, since my two counterparts over here have been in office?
You get a handful. You don't get many.
Yeah, a couple of years.
But most of the time, we deny them, and we never hear from them.
Right. We send certified mail.
They wait a year before they can reapply.
Right, they have to wait a year.
Since I've been as counsel, there's the only two that I'm aware of that the council voted to the special circumstances to allow to be heard early. Right. And those are the
two. There were very few over the last year, but it seemed like we had three all at once. Mm-hmm. We had the Wilkerson, the Brumley, and Hopkins Dairy Farm, all within a month or so of each other. They were the three. Mm-hmm. You know, all at once, and usually it's scattered throughout the year. Sometimes there's none. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think the notice of the certified mail is going to help a lot.
It's going to help a lot.
Because they were getting their mail, but they weren't. The difficulty before was when we send the certified mail now, even, and before, we send them a copy of a cover letter describing both public hearing dates, a copy of the public notice for the commission public hearing date, and a copy of the council public hearing date. That's actually what's advertised. So they see it, and they've got it in their possession. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they see the commission. They don't even realize the council's there because they didn't look at it. Mm-hmm. But it's all three are, they get three pieces, or three documents.
They're separate? Okay, they're separate.
They get them all at once.
Uh-huh. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. And they are certified now.
So you're sending them one for the commission and one letter for the council?
We're sending a cover letter, the public notice for each commission and council.
Good.
Yeah. Hey, we've always done that, but it's just not certified. So now we're requiring their signature to get it.
That's great.
I guess the question is, then, do we want to amend the ordinance and then approve the ordinance as amended and then let Mr. Moore deal with the procedure under rules of our procedure and planning and zoning procedure? Or do you want to have him do that first and do it all one time? Which means we'd have to defer this or whatever.
Well, yes, we would continue with our public hearing today, and then we would just defer vote on it, and then we would determine what is the best way to proceed.
Well, Mike, as we just heard, this isn't something we get a lot of. I mean, it's not critical that we have to do it today. I mean, we could wait and do it all at one time and try to get it right, or if you decide that we don't need the procedure. I'm just bringing it up because I think there's something about it appears to me, in my mind,
sure,
a little on the loose side, and we could make it tight so that when we start getting, when we get the next one, we've established a procedure for the future.
Right.
Would that apply to commission too?
Bar.
Yes.
If it were under our rules of procedure, if it were council rules of procedure, is that what you're thinking?
We would ask that their procedures be changed in the similar manner.
Okay. Could you help me understand? I'm trying to picture, provided that the county council won't act on any matter in which the applicant failed to appear before the commission. I'm trying to picture how that could happen because we do look at their reports. And
well, there is no report. The difficulty is the commission is prepared to have a public hearing.
Mm-hmm.
The applicant doesn't appear, so they have to deny it for lack of a record. There's no support for the application.
Okay, so they must deny, and there's no change in that.
No. When it comes to the council, council is getting a recommendation to deny because of the lack of support for the application from the applicant.
Mm-hmm.
There's no record, basically. And then, and historically, the council is denied for the same reason, just suggests that the applicant withdraw and reapply.
So we
have been told that both ways.
Or they wait a year.
Well, we just did one with the Hopkins Creamery.
Right.
I mean, they had no record before P&Z. They came here and built a record.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of the first times that's ever happened.
Right. In the past, Mike, we've had people show up that didn't go to planning and zoning, came here, and then we had a hearing, and then we either voted yay or nay based on that hearing we had.
Sure.
Because, and we had, only thing we had from P&Z was no record, a denial. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we still got it either approved or whatever. So what we're doing is changing from what we've done in the past. And
well, let's go ahead with the public hearing.
It seems like
we'll
a better way to do it. I do agree with Lawrence. It is a better way.
I mean, in the end, I think what the concern here is does the council need to make a decision without somebody appearing before P&Z, correct? I mean, in the end, that's truly what this is about. In other words, we're not circumventing their role in the process by making a decision at this level without somebody coming before them.
What the commission saw in the conversation was that somebody would just say, well, I'm not going to commission. I'll go to council.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
You're not getting a recommendation, so your record's not is not complete.
Right.
Based on the process.
Okay.
No. Correct. So, I mean, in the end, that's the concern here, I would think, is it's circumventing that process.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah. Good.
Okay. If there are no other questions from council, now is the time for public hearing. Mr. Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer. What he just said about, I think you said about, you guys could not vote because they didn't want you to vote on something that they hadn't heard or something. Well, wait a minute. What is your job? Your job is to do exactly that. They have no right to tell you that you can't vote on something that they didn't, just because they said, well, we ain't approving this, still goes up here on whether or not you want to pass it. Just because they say no, how many times have you overturned their recommendations in the last year, last 2 years? There's been a many of them. Go ahead.
There's a difference. We're talking about somebody who fails to appear.
Yeah, I understand that, but the same principle applies. Because I don't care whether, oh, yes, it does. Because if the person comes in here, as long as he has a legitimate reason, but they say, no, you don't, we're not going to hear it. They come here and they ask you to hear it. Then you ought to have the right and then overturn it if they decide, well, we're just not going to listen to you. Pure and simple.
Does anyone else like to speak on this issue? Anyone else on the proposed ordinance? Hearing none at this time, Mr. President, we can close the public record on this matter. Public hearing on this
matter. Close public hearing, and what's the pleasure on public comment? Close it, or?
Well, if you do these procedures,
yes.
Everett, is that something the public should be able to comment on, or is it just basically housekeeping?
The procedures would actually be part of our rules of procedure, okay. And that is not part of a public hearing process. That is not changing an ordinance. And we've had the, it's been that properly advertised for the ordinance itself,
yeah.
And we've had the hearing on the ordinance. You are allowed to make certain amendments to the ordinance as long as it falls within the short title. And if we have to do some tweaking on that, we can do so. And, you know, I'll come back and give you a report on, here's some proposed, you know, amendments on this, how we can take care of your concerns, or it needs to be handled by procedure, and then we can vote with the proper amendments.
So we make a motion to defer would be the best thing at this point. I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver, to defer. Any questions on that motion? Take a vote, Mr. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
I would ask motion carried. Thank you, Mr. Lang. Entertain a motion to go into executive session for land acquisition and personnel.
Got it.
I'm sorry.
Did you see John?
Oh, I did not see John.
John Brady.
He's so skinny.
Welcome back,
so
Mr. Brady.
Skinny, we hardly saw him as he
welcome
came
back, Mr.
Room.
Brady. I hope you are doing well. You're somewhat thinner, I think.
About
Amen.
Good to have you back.
Good to see you.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir, for being here.
Mm-hmm. Is there any motion to go to executive session?
Yes.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second. Yep. Mr. Arlette, yep. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We're now in executive session for land acquisition and personnel, and I assume we're downstairs.